Brought your boots, brought your pain, but I have a message for you today. That when you leave here, it won't be the into your position. Look at you, there's been no change in your condition. Reach out and touch the master's robe. There's healing for your mind. Oh, your body and your soul, yes, there is. Hallelujah. God can heal.
God can heal.
Oh, yeah.
He can heal.
And he can mend the broken.
He can mend your brokenness.
Yes. Yeah. About your situation, but with every test and every trial, there is revelation that God is able to supply.
Greetings, greetings again, my dear wonderful sisters and brothers of the human family, my dear wonderful sisters and brothers of the Uhuru family. This is Deacon Christopher Frazier. I am your minister of information. This is thinkaboutit.org, the Mind of God program. And today's recording date is Sunday, July the 24th, 2011. We are going into some Sunday school lessons now. We had a lesson in Judges chapter 2. And the children of Israel are supposed to stand up and fight the oppressor and deliver the oppressed from the oppressor. And we are to do the same. Stand up and fight the oppressor. And we're going to understand how, because these lessons are metaphor. These lessons are allegory. And what I want to do at this point is show the misunderstanding of the words used to denote the Most High. That different regions and different cultures have different names for the same Most High and the same attributes of the same Most High Father and Most High Mother. Now, in chapter 2 in Judges, the children of Israel are dealing with Phoenicians and Canaanite people who have the names Balaam or Baal and Ashtaroth for the Most High. But the Christian scholars and Jewish scholars from Europe today say that was heathen and pagan. But I'm going to make the point that the heathen and paganism is not the name, but the practice of the society coming from and emanating from the ruling class and families. Does the practice of the ruling class and ruling families, the rulers, match the name being used? And we're going to look right at America. Now on page 507, reading from the commentary of Precepts for Living, says, speaking of the children of Israel, they violated the first two of the Ten Commandments. I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Now let's examine this quickly as we can. The word Lord here is all uppercase capital letters, L-O-R-D. That means Yahweh. Numbers chapter 11 teaches us that Yahweh is both father and mother. So that is why I say Yahweh Ab or Yahweh Abba for father and Yahweh Aim for mother. Ab and Abba is the African Hebrew word for father. Aim is the African Hebrew word for mother, and mother is the Holy Spirit. Yahweh is father and mother. So I am the Lord thy God. Now that part, thy God, is uppercase capital G, lowercase small O-D. That in the Hebrew is Elohim. And that word Elohim means gods and goddesses. You see, the scholars purposefully mistranslated this, the scriptures, so that we would be confused and revolving around confusion. So, properly translated, this should read, I am Yahweh, thy Elohim. Or, I am your father and your mother, your gods and your goddesses. Who are the Elohim? Who are the gods and the goddesses? Psalm 82 and 6, ye are all Elohim, gods and goddesses, children of the Most High. Yahweh is the Most High. Elohim are the children of the Most High. Who are the children of the Most High? The angels. All of the angels, good and bad, were created by the Most High. Before the angels that became bad, they were good. They're all children of the Most High. We want to understand something about the other gods, or the other Elohim, or the other gods and goddesses. Because the same word for God in this scripture is the same word for gods in this scripture. I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. The God and the gods is Elohim. It should both read gods and goddesses. But there's a gods and goddesses you shouldn't follow, and a gods and goddesses that you should follow that would lead you to the Most High. So the angels, male and female angels, the attributes of the Most High, male and female, are names of angels. Those are gods and goddesses, Elohim. You're a god. You're a goddess. You are an Elohim. You are a child of the Most High. And when we come into this knowledge and do the bidding of the Most High, as children of the Most High Father and Mother Yahweh, we will be acting in accord with our identity. So, the Lord, the Most High Yahweh, is revealed to us through the spirit world, the angels and creation. Elohim, gods and goddesses, the angels, the spirit world, reveal to us the knowledge, wisdom, and understanding of the Most High Yahweh. And it is that knowledge given to us that causes us to come out of bondage, out of slavery. And so, thou shalt have no other gods before me, because now there are fallen angels, the demonic forces. These are the other gods and goddesses. These are the other Elohim that are no longer acting in accord with their identity as children of the Most High, but take us off to do the bidding of the synagogue of Satan. Don't follow them. They will keep you in slavery and bondage. Look at what the house of Rothschilds are doing through austerity programs all over the earth, squeezing the poor, squeezing old people. You have old people. I have old people in my family who have bled and died and lived and bled and died and lived so that we could have a better life. And now they get to the age where they want to draw from Medicare, Medicaid, Social Security, and Obama wants to capitulate and compromise and bow to the wish of the Republicans and cause us to think Republicans and Democrats are fighting, when in reality they are both doing the bidding of the House of Rothschilds, and the script is to compromise, and the script is to cut the people and protect the wealthy, protect the corporate elites, protect the Wall Street oligarchs and the corporate plutocrats, the 1%, 2% wealthy, the House of Rothschilds, the Oppenheimers. That's the plan from the start. Those are the other gods that would lead us into bondage, and we are not to follow after the other gods. Continuing with the commentary, instead, listen to this. they chased after other gods. We just got done explaining the other gods, the demonic forces, through the wicked powers that have governmental, financial, educational status and run the financial institutions, educational institutions, governmental institutions, and want us to remain in slavery, bondage, colonialism, exploitation, warfare, bloodshed. These are the other gods and goddesses. These are the other angels who are now demonic, who are now working through the synagogue of Satan, who are now working through those who sit in power, who rule over us as oppressors. These are the other gods. Continuing, they worship the Canaanite gods Baal and Ashtaroth. Now, what is desired here is to equate Baal and Ashtaroth with paganism. But I say it's not the name, it's the practice. This region was infected by the Hyksos, who took the throne in Egypt. These are Indo-European invaders, infected this whole region with the system of slavery exploitation. And so the Israelites were commissioned to fight the oppressor and fight this oppressive spirit and destroy the oppressor. But the time came that the choice had to be made. Do we continue to fight the oppressor, or do we join the oppressor? Do we join the idolatrous, covetous system of theft of land, wealth, and resources through warfare and bloodshed? That was the choice. God deemed the Israelites' behavior as evil, and he deemed what they had done as abandonment of the one true God. Yahweh is father and mother. The gods and the goddesses Elohim are the children of the Most High, and we follow the children of the Most High to the Most High that we may destroy idolatry, slavery, colonialism, exploitation. Their disobedience of God's commandments stirred his anger against the people he had chosen to represent him to the rest of the world. To those who worship him, listen to this. Baal was considered to be the god of storms and rains and thought to control vegetation and agriculture. Sisters and brothers, we're just going to cut straight to the quick. This is a misunderstanding of scripture to condemn the Canaanites and the Phoenicians for saying Baal and saying Ashtaroth. You see, the creation is controlled through the Elohim on behalf of the Most High. So various regions and various portions of creation are under the control of the spirit world. And the spirit world, the angels, work on behalf of the Most High. So one of the names used for the spirit world is Baal. And this name is used to understand the control of storms and rains and vegetation. Also, Baal means husband. Baal means a husbandman and master and lord and protector. So the question then becomes, okay, Canaanites and Phoenicians, you have this name, but are you meeting the standard? The answer is no. They are not meeting the standard. The Canaanites, the oppressor, were oppressing and destroying the children of Israel. The oppressor was killing and committing warfare and bloodshed and destroying the masses of the people that Israel was there to deliver. And so, the other name that is used is Ashtoreth, the mother goddess of love, war, and fertility. Now, love. Are you practicing love? Ruling class and families of Canaan and Phoenicia, are you practicing love, or are you practicing hatred to the oppressed, the poor, the afflicted, and the needy? And with this word war, are you waging war on oppression, ruling class and families of Canaan, or are you waging war on the oppressed? Fertility. Ashtaroth means fertility. Do you want the masses to produce that which is best for the human family? Are you producing an environment, ruling class and families, rulers and judges? Are you producing an environment that will facilitate fertility, that will facilitate growth and production spiritually, mentally, morally, and physically? Or are you oppressing the people, destroying the people, destroying your own people? And so the children of Israel came to free up the masses of the Canaanite people and Phoenician people and other people of that region and join as one nation to fight the oppressor. The chosen people began to worship the idol gods. The idol represents land, wealth, resources, represents covetousness, warfare, and bloodshed, and even temple prostitution and child sacrifice. Now, I want to say to America, sisters and brothers, the politicians are prostitutes for the synagogue of Satan. See, all of this is metaphor, showing us what is going on today. Prostitution is going on right today. Women have been forced because of poverty to take up prostitution, to sell their bodies to make a living. And you know women are naturally shy and would never do such. And so this system, worse than the Canaanite system, the oppressor that was in Canaan, worse than that system by many times and millions of times, they would shudder to think what we're doing today. So poverty, impoverishment, warfare, bloodshed, women having to make choices, sell their bodies. That's going on right today, worse than it ever occurred. But America claims Jesus. But Jesus means justice. Is America practicing Jesus? So you would say to the Canaanites then, give up Baal. But it's not the name, it's the practice. Would you in America give up Jesus? When America is worse than anything you read in history? When the system that is crushing women is doing more so today than ever? Child sacrifice, cuts in education, poverty, children don't have a place to lay their head. In America, in the richest country on the planet, all over the earth, this system is killing children. You have drought in Somalia, which they say is not man-made, but we know that they have the technology to do that as well. But you also have the overpricing of food, bread, that which the people need. Starvation, this starvation is manufactured because no matter the weather in Somalia, we have enough in the world to feed everybody on the planet. But the House of Rothschilds, the Oppenheimers, have constructed a system that is destroying the children. America is helping to destroy the children of the world inside and outside of America. And yet America claims God. America claims Jesus. Would you give up God and Jesus? Or would you say that they are not the ruling class and families, those in power, the politicians who are prostitutes themselves to the House of Rothschilds and Oppenheimers, are not meeting the standard of God, Jesus Christ? That's what you would say. Well, it's the same then. We have to be wise, sisters and brothers, and free our minds from such confusion. I got to move on to Judges chapter 3. Move on to Judges chapter 3 and look at another Sunday school lesson. We want to see the lessons as pure metaphor, pure allegory, teaching us that it is our duty, our job to fight the oppressor. But many of us do not know how to fight the oppressor. How do you fight the oppressor? Well, you know the children of Israel and those in that day used swords. But is it a physical sword? Or is this sword metaphor for something else? The sword represents the tongue. Revelation 3 and 12, I think it is, says Jesus had the sword in his mouth. The tongue looks like a sword. The tongue gives us the word. And the word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword. So this is metaphor for teaching us that we are to fight the oppressor using the word of God, which is sharper than any two-edged sword. And in Judges chapter 3, we had a lesson where Ehud, the son of Gera, a Benjamite, a man left-handed, and by him the children of Israel sent a present to Eglon, the king of Moab. And let me just give you the story. This man Ehud, and Ehud means I will give thanks, be praised. It also means undivided in union. Because what we are looking at is disunity amongst the oppressed, disunity amongst the ethnic and religious and gender and age, all of these divisions given to us by the house of Rothschild, the Oppenheimers, to divide so that we may be conquered. Well, Ehud represents the unity of the oppressed, the poor, the afflicted, and the needy, that we must unite and stand together giving praises unto the Most High. Let me take my last break, and I will see you on the other side of the break.
Seems like I should run away, 'cause life is hitting me in the face. Treating me defeated, no way. 'Cause I can't. 'Cause I can see it, I'm getting closer. The hardest part of it is almost over. And now I'm stronger, I'm a fighter. And only victory can satisfy this hunger.
I'll never break my back, never break my back. I'll never break my back, never break my back.
Greetings, greetings again, my dear wonderful sisters and brothers of the human family, my dear wonderful sisters and brothers of the Uhuru family. This is Deacon Christopher Frazier. I am your minister of information. This is thinkaboutit.org, the Mind of God program. Today's recording date is Sunday, July the 24th, 2011. So in this particular Sunday school lesson, Judges chapter 3, we see that the Moabites, and it's not the Moabites in general, but it is the ruling class and ruling families. This King Eglon says he was a very fat man. That word fat has to do with being rich from the fat of the people, taking land, wealth, and resources. He was very wealthy because he was a thief and a killer. He's the oppressor. And so Ehud is commissioned to deal with this oppressor. And he found himself coming from the quarries at Gilgal, Ehud did. And the quarries, I want to look up this word. Quarries, Q-U-A-R-R-I-E-S. Let's see. 6456 on the Hebrew side of your Strong's Hebrew Greek dictionary. The quarries, Pesel, means image, idol, graven image. And this is to cause us to understand that after the oppressor stole the land, the wealth, the resources, took those resources into the quarry and created and constructed the economic system, you see on the monies, the images of the oppressor were put. And the people had to bow to the economic system. The people had to suffer because of theft of land, wealth, and resources through warfare and bloodshed. It is the same today. Look at the Federal Reserve System. Look at the economic system of the world. Look at the International Monetary Fund, the World Bank Organization, World Trade Organization, the quarries. Look at the construction of consumer goods and items from the theft of land, wealth, and resources through warfare and bloodshed. So we got to come from the quarries, come out of the mentality to support a system that is idolatrous covetousness. And the idols only represent the resources. And the covetousness describes the fact that the resources were stolen through warfare and bloodshed. So we have to leave the quarry and go deal with the oppressor. Now, this man, Ehud, who represents unity, black man and woman, unite. Brown man and woman, unite. Yellow, white man and woman, unite. Oppressed people, unite. Male, female, unite. Elders and youth, unite. Hindus, Buddhists, Christians, Jews, Hindus, Jehovah's Witnesses, Catholics, we atheists, communists, unite. Come together and let's deal with the oppressor. Now, how did Ehud deal with the oppressor? He was left-handed. He was left-handed, and the sword was on his right hand. And so when he came through, being a left-handed individual, the security of Eglon, the oppressor, thought that the man was right-handed, and so they checked his left side, because normally you take the hand, you take the sword opposite of the arm that you tend to use. So if you're left-handed, your sword is on the right side. But if you're right-handed, the sword is on the left side. But Ehud is left-handed, and his sword is on the right side of his body. And so he went in, and the sword was not detected. And so, when it came time to deal with the oppressor, he closed the doors up behind the oppressor, reached over from his left side with his left hand, grabbed his sword from the right hand, and dealt with the oppressor. Now, normally that's translated in a physical way. But I am here to tell you that that is metaphor. This is metaphorical teaching. It is physical constructs that symbolize spiritual root reality. If you read Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, it tells you plain that the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. So just looking at that, we see that the sword is metaphor, allegory for the word of God. And it is the word of God that Ehud used to defeat the oppressor. It wasn't a physical sword. Metaphorical teaching. Allegorical teaching, symbolical teaching. If you kill people and cut people's throats and slash people and destroy human family and destroy the physical body and the mentality of the wicked oppressor remains, what have you done but just gotten rid of a physical body? But if you take the word of God and go to the people and go to different individuals and go to the masses and preach the word of God and free the mentality, free the mind from the mentality of the wicked ruling class. Free, go after the people with the word of God and disconnect them from the mind of the wicked ruling class, and the ruling class and ruling families, the oppressor, the Rothschilds, the Oppenheimers have been dealt with and destroyed. Their power is destroyed. They have no more influence, and they dry up and they go away, and we gain the victory through the use of the word of God. Now, this is even deeper metaphor, because we said the word of God is that sword. The tongue with the word of God is sharper than a two-edged sword, any two-edged sword. The word of God is that which constructed the whole physical world, emanating from the Most High Father and Mother Creator, Creatress. The word of God is what gives us everything that we see. So certainly that which is the giver of that which we see is greater than that which is given to us that we see. So the word is what created the sword. The word is what created the minerals and the resources that we put together to make the sword. So it's the word that is greater. It's the spirit of the Most High that is greater. It is the word of God that is greater than any two-edged sword. And so the left side, let me get this straight in my mind. The left side has meaning. The right side has meaning. We are looking at a man who is using the word of God and is balanced. This is a balanced man. The left side represents Mother Holy Spirit. This is African teaching. Every aspect of the physical creation is symbolism. The left side represents Mother Holy Spirit. He was left-handed. He had use of the mother side of his consciousness, because the mind operates on male-female polarity, producing thoughts and ideas and actions. And when you produce, you give birth. So the mind is able to give spiritual birth to thoughts and ideas. So he's left-handed. He is using the side of the mother, the side of the female, the side of the feminine, with the word of God, understanding the feminine side of things. But the sword is on the right side. The right side is the father. The right side is the male. The right side represents the masculine. You got to have male and female working together to produce, to give birth, whether spiritually, mentally, morally, or physically. The left side, the mother, represents the W-O-M-B, the womb. But a womb is nothing unless there's the sperm or the germ of life coming from the father. And the word of God has those qualities. The word of God is like the sperm, spiritual sperm. The germ of life enters the womb of the mind to produce ideas and thoughts and actions that are supposed to be righteous. And also the left side, the mother, the womb, represents wisdom. These are feminine qualities. See, Ehud is unity. Oh, thank you, father and mother. Ehud is uniting the male-female polarities within himself. Uniting the male-female characteristics within himself by usage of the knowledge of God, the word of God, the understanding of universe, the understanding of science. All of this is the word of God. So the left side, mother, W-O-M-B, the womb. But the womb needs the germ of life, the sperm, the father. The left side, the mother, the womb, wisdom, represents wisdom. So here's a man coming with wisdom. But with wisdom, you got to have knowledge. Wisdom is like a W-O-M-B. But wisdom with no knowledge is useless. A womb with no sperm or germ of life is useless. So once again, the knowledge is the masculine and male side. So you have wisdom, the mother, feminine, female. And then you have knowledge, masculine, male, father. Wisdom is the left side. Knowledge is the right side. So wisdom and knowledge is being used. The left side represents righteousness. The female represents righteousness. And so the right side, the father, represents justice. So here we have a man that's coming with righteousness and justice united within himself, using the word of God for righteousness and justice. And also the left side, the mother side, the womb side, the wisdom side, the righteous side also represents and is symbolic of morality. So here's a man coming with the word of God and he's moral. He is bringing morality to a system. He is fighting that which is immoral, wanting to free up the oppressed and free the masses from the oppressor. But the right side represents spirituality. And so you have morality and you have spirituality. The female represents morality. That is why when you see a society such as this society in America, Europe, and Israel, where the woman is violated night and day, that society has no morals and has no spiritual bearing. And so you have morality, the left side, and you have spirituality. And so this man, Ehud, means unity. Unity of the womb with the sperm. Unity of wisdom with knowledge. Unity of righteousness. Righteousness with justice. Unity of morality with spirituality. And uniting all of the oppressed to fight and deal with the oppressor. Black man and woman, you are the sword of God. Look at your history. Look at, you are Ehud. You, black man and woman, coming through the civil and human rights and black power struggle, sought to unite all of the oppressed and to deal with the oppressor. How do we do it? We really didn't do it with weapons. Certainly, at times, weapons were used to defend oneself, but it was the word of God, which is sharper than any two-edged sword, dividing asunder the soul and the spirit, and the joints and marrow, and is discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Our leaders like Dr. King, Malcolm X, Fannie Lou Hamer, Sojourner Truth, Harriet Tubman were able to look at the system and give critical analysis to the system, Elijah Muhammad and others, and teach us, Marcus Garvey, and teach us the true even thoughts and intents of the heart of those who were in charge of this wicked system. Tell us what the oppressor was thinking. Tell us the moves of the oppressor. Give us critical analysis using the word of God, which is knowledge, which is wisdom, which is justice and righteousness and spirituality and morality. So every time we look at these lessons, we are looking at metaphor for what we are to do. Fight the oppressor with the word of God, knowledge and wisdom. The whole universe is full of the knowledge and wisdom that we are to use every day to fight the oppressor. And when the oppressor is done, the oppressor is over. Now let me go through some issues for a few minutes right quickly. We learned this past week that the San Francisco Division of the Fraternal Order of the No Good Rotten Police shot another unarmed black man at the Bayview Hunters Point in San Francisco. Why is it that the black man is being shot dead in the streets? It's because you are the African Hebrew Israelite nation. You are the true Jew. And the idea is that the Fraternal Order of the Police are not dispatched to protect us. They are dispatched to protect the wealthy, the oligarchs, the plutocrats. All the crime is going on Wall Street and the bankers and in those houses of financial, governmental, and educational institutions. But the police are sent into the neighborhoods, poor neighborhoods, black neighborhoods, brown neighborhoods, poor white neighborhoods, poor native people's neighborhoods to keep us under control, that we may not rebel against the system. But black man and woman, you are the African Hebrew Israelite nation, and the leaders of the Fraternal Order of the Police, who are Illuminati Masonic Order, know that it is you that have the job and mission to stand up and fight the oppressor as the Messiah people, and to wake up the Messiah spirit in the human family, the oppressed, and to break the power of the oligarchs and the plutocrats and the wicked ruling class and families, the Rothschilds and the Oppenheimers, so we're shot dead in the streets. A book was written called Jim Crow, The New Jim Crow. By, I forget my beautiful sister's name, but it pointed out how the prison industrial complex is constructed to control black people, just as Jim Crow, just as slavery, because they know it is we who are the Messiah people. And when we come to this knowledge of our identity and unite, we will be able to break their power, and we will not be shot dead in the streets anymore. Black Agenda Radio, we're talking about Pelican Bay and the protesting going on. And they were talking about how it was counterintelligence program then targeting our leadership because we're the people who would rise up. But now, today, it's the prison industrial complex that has been used to target the masses of our people, destroy the leadership, now destroy the people, keep us from uniting and standing up. And you know that the Obama administration, Dennis Blair, and the spokesperson for the Obama administration said outright that they would attack the left and attack those who would stand up against their wickedness. And this is the atmosphere that we live in, that even though we have a black president, that the atmosphere has been created and he has participated in that atmosphere. He's not saying anything about our brothers being shot dead in the streets. Obama is not saying anything because he is among those that are understanding that it is we who are the African Hebrew Israelite nation and we must be controlled from their perspective. And so we see that he has fed into such construct. Nelson Mandela had a birthday. And we thank the Most High for Nelson Mandela. But we know that Nelson Mandela sold out the South African people. We're looking at all of these issues with critical analysis. That there was a law constructed by the racist apartheid rulership, Section 35 of the Constitution, if I have it correctly, that 85% of the land that was already stolen by the European invaders would not be returned to black people, the true South African people, indigenous people. So it is in the Constitution. And so we love Nelson Mandela, but he sold us out. Economic update. Richard Wolff getting to this budget situation right quickly. I think I'm going to have to stop. I give thanks and praises unto the Most High for this privilege to talk to you. It is our job to stand up and fight the oppressor. Let us get up and do our job. Jah love, Jah bless. This is the Exodus, the movement of Jah people.